Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our guest today is John Cameron from the Cameron Law Office, where they deal in business transactions, real estate deals, and commercial litigation. John, our topic today is opportunities in a down market, and we certainly have a down market these days, don't we?
That's right, Tom. First, let me say good morning, and thanks for having me. Good morning, to Sam. And we do have a down market. We have assets being repriced not only on Wall Street, but on Main Street as well.
There's a good differentiation, Wall Street and Main Street. We're finding in our practice that Wall Street is the topic of the day, and people don't understand the difference between the large commercial banks and the stock market and so forth that are all suffering, as you can read in almost any newspaper, and Main Street, where actually there is business as usual going on in a lot of parts of the country.
Our clients are very active in maintaining their current businesses and trying to find out where the next wave of opportunities are.
Do you find your clients are those that are lucky enough to have cash and credit are out there starting to snoop around and come back into the market, or are they still on hold a little bit, John?
Well, I think that right now we're seeing clients getting ready. They're looking for opportunities or anticipating them. But given the current overall state of both the economic situation on Wall Street and throughout the world, I think people are hanging tight onto their cash, but getting closer and closer to thinking that some buying opportunities are available. In fact, we've had some clients exercise on some buying opportunities.
So are they taking advantage of foreclosed properties, or are they just taking advantage of properties that have been repriced in a down market, like homes maybe have gone down by 40-50%, and maybe commercial real estate is off, and there are really some good-looking prices out there today compared to the last few years?
Absolutely. Well, we've seen a number of, there's been kind of a transition. We really saw in our business representing residential developers back in late 2006 and 2007, where the market slowed down. And as those developments stalled, the banks started to get involved, maybe working with the developer or taking it back from the developer. But that whole process took a significant amount of time. First, the banks had to come to the understanding that they were going to take the asset back. And then they don't just take it over in one night. There's a process, takes several months for them to do that. But once that's done, we're seeing that some of those assets are liquidated and some individuals are taking advantage of that. On the other side, we're seeing the commercial market, both more so on the banks trying to maybe move some assets off their balance sheet, where individual investors in the commercial market are taking advantage and maybe the bank's willing to discount.
The dreaded REO, real estate owned.
Right.
Banks hate that stuff.
And even before it gets to that stage, they might even want to just sell their interest in the property, which would consist of a promissory note and secured by a mortgage.
Okay, let's take the case of, we've all heard that a lot of the new home contractors, some aren't even in business anymore. And a lot of those fellas, when things were going very, very well, got involved in land development and parceling those out and getting them all zoned so they could build the housing and what have you. I've heard a lot of those deals went south, and a lot of people lost money on it, not only the developer, but the engineers and the surveyors and so forth. Who ends up with that land, and what kind of headaches does that bring?
Well, ultimately, most of those deals were, there's probably a couple different levels. You had large national builders out there who were taking interest in land with maybe a farmer or someone had a large tract of land, and maybe it was just under an option. So that went back to the farmer. Ones which were further down the road, which a developer may have taken under contract, invested money with professionals such as attorneys, land planners and surveyors, and people that do environmental reports, and the project was moving forward, and they eventually financed it with a bank, but the sales stalled. You're seeing either the construction lending company or the bank or other lender taking that asset back and either sitting with it on their books or now trying to discount it deeply to move some of it.
So if I'm an investor and think we've seen the bottom, and there's maybe a 5-acre or 10-acre development that was unfinished, and maybe some of the infrastructure, sewer, water, and roads put in, and I want to take advantage of that, how would I do it? Where would I go to find that, and how would I make sure that what I'm buying is what I think I'm buying and doesn't have any surprises? Those dreadful surprises.
Well, a number of the lenders who've taken this back are working with specific real estate companies who are listing these properties, and we're seeing some really good values with clients being able to pick up some of these things that have come back to the banks. It's, you know, significant discounts. You know, their concerns going forward are first and foremost, are they getting the property back without any entanglements? And second of all, what's their hold horizon? Because I think it's common knowledge that the residential market is going to take some time to recoup itself. So they
go
need
back
to
and hold horizon.
Well, you know, how, if they're going to take this asset down, how long will it take for them to, you know, to be able to sell it at a profit, and then move out of it? Because they're not buying it to hold it forever. They want to turn it around.
I think that's that crystal ball thing, Sam.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How long before you find buyers willing to step up and buy the lot and start a new home construction or start building a new home?
Right. And you know, that may take some time. You know, we're seeing clients who are moving into that market. We're seeing more people maybe buying things with an existing home that they maybe have an opportunity to either rent out or move in themselves. You know, the land deals are still difficult for investors to commit to.
Well, John, what if Tom decides to buy an apartment building or a condo building that was only partially filled?
Well, that's...
I mean, you're saying now the bank owns it.
If I do that, knock me alongside the head, because I don't want to be doing that. But what if somebody else wants to do that?
But if, you know, but if the bank owns it and the seller's gone, where's the history?
Right. Well, and that's kind of where we're seeing a lot of our clients now, is that's what we would say is more getting away from the residential development side, but the commercial development. Mm. You might have an existing condominium project or retail center or other industrial center that is a performing asset, but you know, the banks themselves have their own difficulties, and they may want to get rid of some of these things. So in any of these cases, you'd hope that the owner was still there and available to answer some questions. But in a case where the bank has taken it back and there's no willing seller in the conversation, the bank will have some of the information to help us with our due diligence. But these are some of the things that you need to factor in, that it's going to be a little more work to pull everything together so that you understand what you're buying, what the history on it is. And does anyone else, is they going to come down a road and try to assert a claim that they have an interest in the property?
What are some of the things that usually a seller brings to the table in terms of that, you know?
Well, typically, you know, if a seller were going to bring their commercial property to market, they would provide an operating history. They would provide a list of service contracts in place. They would show you leases and a rent roll.
Plans, as-built plans.
As-built plans. They might have what's called an environmental study, which the initial study is called a phase one. If there was a history of environmental problems on the property, they may have a phase two or some other documents issued by a governmental agency clearing the property.
I had a friend who recently bought a piece of property that had been held for 20 years. There was environmental changes that occurred over those 20 years, right?
Sure.
And new regulations, and they got stuck with, I believe it was $150,000 cleanup fee.
Yeah, and were they owned the property through
that
whole period?
They bought it from a foreclosure.
Sure. And, you know, that's one of the things that now, the fact that the seller is no longer in the picture doesn't mean that you can't get these answers, but you need to, you know, and maybe it is a tremendous value. And even at that $150,000 that they had to expend, they may still be happy that they own the property.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the goal is to avoid as much buyer's remorse as possible. And
how could they have prevented that?
Well, what they would have done was engage someone. You know, typically we have a list of professionals that we work with that we engage on behalf of the clients. One might be a surveyor to do an ALTA survey, rather, and it'll tell you where the property is located. Is your neighbor's building on your property? Is your building on their property? Is your fence on their property? Is that little building you built in the back of your property on theirs or your property?
And how long has it been there?
Right.
It's an issue.
And do you have access to the property? can you actually get to it without a helicopter? And, on the environmental issue, we would engage someone who would come in and do it. The phase one basically goes through the history of the property. Was it a gas station? Was it historically, dry cleaners have used, not so much now where they, but the processing, historically, those were issues there.
That'd be a,
right.
So that would be a phase one environmental assessment, John?
Correct. That's correct.
And that just is a kind of a roadmap of the history of the property to determine whether or not you need to do the dreaded phase two.
Correct.
Which could be quite a bit more expensive because you'll be out there doing some drilling and checking for problems and so forth.
Yeah, and had your friend, had the phase one done, they would have seen the history of the property, and they might have said, it may have triggered questions in their mind to do this phase two follow-up. And then that could have been, they might have still wanted the property, but they could have assessed the potential cost to what we call remediate the property, to bring it back to a non-contaminated, but an acceptable level. And then they could have factored that into their negotiations on the acquisition.
I would think that would affect that hold horizon as well.
Right.
Crystal ball thing. on this environmental problems, in the case of environmental problems, isn't it true that anyone that was involved in the property over the course of the period of time that it might have been contaminated is probably still liable, whether they're still an owner or not, and whether they're still a bank or not? Isn't everybody invited to that party?
Well, ultimately, that's probably a true statement with the ultimate liability for the person releasing it. And also, individuals may have tried to limit their exposure through some contractual agreements as well.
Or hide something, maybe?
Exactly. And so let's just say it's safe to say that you might be invited to a conversation to talk about your potential liability. That there aren't defenses to that, but...
So if you discover a problem like that, better start talking to John Cameron and say, okay, here's the history, what can we do, and who's responsible for payment of this besides me? And maybe see if you can come out with a little better resolution.
Right. I mean, it's obviously going, it just goes to the good due diligence. You know, spending the money up front to do some of the, ask these questions can either put you, let you sleep better at night or let you at least address it on the front end. Because, with a high degree of certainty, your next buyer, as buyers become more sophisticated, we always talk to clients about, we know how you're getting in to this deal. How are you going to get out of this
deal?
The
exit strategy. We love that.
And with that, we know that we can assume that the next person that you're going to want to sell this property to is going to ask these questions and require this history. And if you didn't address them on the front end and deal with the cost associated with it, you will on the back end.
It's always easier to deal with this before you sign on the dotted line and write your check, isn't it?
Right. And in our deals, our clients always require a certain due diligence period where they can look into these things, they can have a deal committed to, but if there's something that is going to be so difficult to deal with that they can withdraw from the transaction.
Let's go back to the bank for a minute. I'm assuming that if a banker's got a problem property, he's got a couple of choices. He can either make a deal with the developer or the owner and voluntarily take the property back, or if he's not getting paid, he can go through foreclosure. Now, it's my understanding that if a banker goes through the formal foreclosure process, that he's probably got clear title and the ability to turn around and sell it once that's over. But if he made a deal with someone who was in trouble and upside down on the property, do those things get a little stickier? Do they have clear title? Are there problems associated with that potentially?
Well, absolutely. And we find clients that have identified an opportunity with a lender that the lender would like to get rid of the property. They may have a foreclosure process is a very formal process, and there's a couple of different ways that the bank could assert their foreclosure. But there's certain notice requirements and to put all the parties involved on notice. And some banks may want, or lenders may want to get rid of an asset even before that process. They may have commenced the process, but may want to get out of the property before that process is concluded. So we have clients who are coming in saying, hey, I want to buy this asset. Well, they can't actually buy the property at that point. They have to take the lender's position. And
so they buy the note.
They buy the note, they buy the foreclosure, and they allow the foreclosure process to go forward. Or they may have already had a sheriff's sale, but the owner of the property has the right to come back and still reclaim the property.
The redemption period.
The redemption period. And in that case, you know, you're taking the property subject to the owner's rights and any third party's rights. So you want to have your eyes open of what those are. And we have clients who do this all the time, but they factor in and they're what they're willing to pay for the property based on those potential inevitabilities.
So depending on the structure of the deal and whether or not it went through foreclosure, or if you're buying the banker's position, or if you're buying the real estate from the bank, you need to take a good hard look at it, make sure you're in first position, make sure that there's no other liens or claims on the property, no other environmental surprises, those type of things.
That's right.
There's another issue we haven't talked about, and we started out talking about opportunities in the market, and that's the case where maybe an investor isn't going to buy the entire business or the entire property. He's going to come in and recapitalize the property. So essentially the owners, or the current owners, bring in a new partner with some new capital to solve some problems. That's a whole other set of possible problems for that new investor, isn't it?
It sure is. And you know, and that investor would want to, let's just say that someone had the property. It was a great investment. The market has fallen apart, but on the long-term horizon, you know, it's just a matter of holding the property until the market will stabilize and come back, which at this, you know, in this current market may be some time, yet they're comfortable with the underlying asset. So a partner will come in and try to recapitalize the existing group. And then that partner needs to understand what's the history on the property, what are all the liabilities and obligations that are out there, and make sure that there's full disclosure coming in and that they have done their due diligence to make sure that they understand not only the partnership group, but the underlying asset they're getting involved with.
So it's really more complicated than if you're going to buy the property yourself, because you have to do all that research, make sure you got clear title, make sure there aren't any surprises, bad surprises. Plus, if you're going to come in and put in new capital, you want to make sure that you put in enough capital so that you can deal with that crystal ball thing, that hold period. How are we going to turn this property around? How are we going to go forward?
That's right.
So do you find in those cases that we talked before about investing with other partners, now you need to do not only research into the business or the real estate, you need to do some research into those partners and make sure there isn't anything hidden there as well, right?
Well, you want to make sure you go in with your eyes open. And again, that can be handled with disclosure, some due diligence and investigation. And then, as we've talked about on prior occasions, the whole structure of the deal, in the event that some inevitability or additional capital is required to keep the thing going beyond the horizon that was identified, who's going to put that up, and what are they going to get for it?
You know, a lot of times it takes twice as much as you thought it might, and it takes twice as long. You know, those are the kind of things you like to talk about with your clients.
Well,
what if?
I think attorneys get a bit of a rap because they as deal breakers or deal killers, but there's that balance between the entrepreneur who is optimistic and only sees, you know, how they're going to split up the profits, and then there's someone in the room needs to be offering some ideas to think about with respect to what if it doesn't go perfectly.
Someone to put the accident tape around it.
Right.
He's got big rolls of that in his office. I'm sure you've got some horror stories about some of them when they came to you too late and maybe didn't do their due diligence.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when the car's up on the curb and they went they want somebody to help get it back on the street. You know, it's sometimes more, it's a lot easier to do some of this planning ahead of time. And obviously, in no scenario can you undertake to try to address every potential scenario. But if you lay a guideline of how the group is going to work or the investment group is going to work with taking this down, they've done their due diligence. And many clients who at least go in with their eyes open, you know, when something comes up that was unexpected, maybe that particular event was unexpected, yet as a group, when they've done the planning, they can respond to it because they know what each of their roles and each of their commitments is with respect to solving these issues.
It sounds like I'm very rational, but I have a feeling it's not quite that rational when people are going into it, especially in your example, Tom, where you're talking about, you know, someone going in and adding capital and becoming a new partner and in order to save a deal. And I'm wondering how many of those are family oriented, you know, family members jumping in and helping out and
coming to the rescue. Here we come. The white knight.
I'm wondering how rational, just because of the way the times are right now, how rational it really is.
Well, I think that what we're seeing now is that people who have resources to do deals with, you know, cash is king in an environment like this, they are. They're coming to deals and they're asking the questions early, you know, let's say 10 years ago, you know, people kind of say, oh, we have to get a lawyer involved. He's going to have to start a company for us, going to have to do these things. They saw it strictly as an expense. And now we're, you know, over the last few years here, we're seeing clients, you know, saying, listen, that was money well spent that we did this, this, and this, because had we not done these things, we would, you know, potentially be in a lot more difficult situation.
So or they may be jumping in, but they're stopping.
Right.
Mid-jump and going, oh, wait, must think this one.
Right. Well, I would think there's a lot of owners right now, whether it's business or real estate, they're out there looking for that white knight, looking for somebody to come in with some extra capital so they can take advantage of some perceived opportunity. Are you seeing a lot of that?
We are. We have a number of clients who are coming to us with opportunities and are ready to take advantage of some of those. And we're doing a lot more due diligence. They're
a little more careful than they were a few years ago.
Right, they're coming and requesting it up and beyond, you know, what we've normally done in the past, knowing that we've done this for them in the past, and really now it's part of their process now, and they want that done on every, you know, on all these deals, because people are being cautious about what they get into, and when they do take advantage of a current opportunity, they want to have their eyes open as much as possible.
So they're coming in there saying, John, I've got an opportunity for a great deal here. I think it'll turn around next year, the year after. I think the numbers work. Help me sort out whether or not this is a good investment or a bad investment. And then you go through some of the legal issues that could present unexpected surprises and expense and make sure they're talking to their accountant and running through the numbers, and then make sure they're dealing with the fact that what if this does have to take twice as long as you think, and what if you need to throw an extra 100 or 200 or 500,000 at it?
Well, absolutely. And people, you know, are the business owners and investors that we work with are obviously more cautious in this environment. They're willing to take advantage of the opportunities that are out there, but they are they appreciate the process that we implement to a higher degree now than they used to when things were, nice. When all you do is buy something and sell it later for more.
So you can really present them with almost a checklist of here's the possible problems we can run into, and let's look through these and make sure that you've considered everything we can think of before you write that check and before you sign on the line with the lender.
Absolutely, and we run through that with our clients, and some elect to go with the whole list, and some pick and choose, but they at least they make an informed decision.
What is the number one issue that you've been seeing, say, just the last 6 months?
Well, the number one issue is overall not directly in our business, but overall is the liquidity issue, the capital issue. You know, if you do see an opportunity, where can you go get the capital to take advantage of it? And there are banks that are doing deals, and even though you come home and see on the news that, you know, the banking industry, and there are difficult times for the bank industry, but yet there are lenders out there who will meet with you and try to structure something that makes sense. And if it will meet within their regulatory criteria that they're under right now, they will do the deals. But so liquidity is the biggest problem. And you know, hopefully that'll get solved, but that creates great opportunities for individuals that do have money, because they can take advantage with less liquidity out there chasing the same number of assets. Obviously, the purchase is lower.
I guess that's especially particularly true on a recapitalization where you've already got a lender in place and there's some type of distress, some type of event or crystal ball issue. And if you can introduce one or two new partners and some extra equity and maybe some extra guarantees or assets to a deal, you've got a willing lender, because if it supports their loan and makes it a stronger loan, they'll be pretty appreciative of that and work with you pretty closely.
And it may be a situation on that recapitalization of, we have clients who've stepped into the lender's position of maybe it's even a performing asset, but because the lender may have an issue, that they may want to come in and discount that loan just so they can get capital into their bank. And
just get it off the books.
Yeah, not even a non-performing, just a they need to raise capital, so they're willing to sell it. And our clients are willing to step in and put some capital in, and they may also use some debt financing. And with the discount, they can get a nice rate of return on that.
There really are some opportunities, but maybe the best ones aren't just to straight out buy this or buy that. Maybe the best one is walk in there and buy that note, or walk in there and do a recapitalization where you can deal with several parties that want your equity, want your play, want you to participate. Then you can really cut a pretty good deal, but it's the type of deal that you don't see brokers offering up because they're a little harder to find.
Well, I mean, I can... you know, we've worked with clients who have bought commercial properties starting out by buying the note with a full expectation that the borrower would be in default, and be able to take over a commercial property at about 40 cents on the dollar.
What last advice would you give someone that might have an interest in buying foreclosures? Where would they look and what would they do?
Well, we like to talk about distressed asset classes, whether foreclosure in the commercial or residential side. I think that you're going to see more and more firms marketing this, either directly through banks or through brokerage firms. You're seeing the large commercial firms starting out with what they call it a distressed asset group that'll focus specifically on that. And their proposal may not just be the property. They might be working with banks to sell the paper.
So do you work with clients that are looking for some of these and help them call some of the banks and see what have you got on the books and what do you need help with?
Absolutely. That we're doing a significant amount of work right now in that area.
So in addition to helping them make sure they get into it legally from a good standpoint, so everything's clean, you're helping them locate some deals that fit their investment appetite and make sure that at the end of the day they're in as good a position as they can be in.
That's right, Tom.
Well, this has been a great discussion of opportunities in a down market. I'm sure there's a lot of things we haven't covered, but it seems to me that if you've got some dry powder, if you've got cash, if you've got the appetite to go out there and invest in properties, that the first place they should start would be calling the John Cameron Law Office and saying, what kind of opportunities are you seeing, John, and how do we access these things?
That's right, Tom.
And for more information on opportunities in the down market, with any questions or comments for John today, please go to todaysbusinessradio.com and click through to the John Cameron Law Firm, where they deal in business transactions, real estate deals, and commercial litigation. I'm Tom Lyons for my co-host Sam Zordich and our guest today, John Cameron. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.